All right, so I missed yesterday. I am still dealing with stuff from the car accident last week. As a matter of fact, I've actually got a heating pad as I'm sitting here recording this. But we got some interesting news or stuff to talk about today. So let's get into it. And hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Almost Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps. Subscribe here on the YouTube channel for all of the content, including video reactions for anime and trailers. All of the podcasts here on the channel also go up, like I said, on your favorite podcast apps, including Spotify, Apple, and whatnot. We have merch, link in the description box down below. Check it out. Support your favorite geek pop culture channel. Support your favorite podcasts. IMA for anime fans. And yeah, of course, LRMonline.com every day for all written news, reviews, opinions. The celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel goes up there as well. I'm Kyle. And thank you all for tuning in. I do like to usually start the days or the shows off talking about stories that you can find at lrmonline.com. And you can see we cover a little bit of everything from comics to anime, just like this, the Genreverse YouTube channel, which spun off from the LRM YouTube channel. Interviews are the primary thing there. But today I wanted to mention a couple things that might kind of be connected. But first, Kick-Ass reboot, anybody? Look, man, I'm already very well suffering comic book movie fatigue. And not because it's too many comic book movies, but it's just been too many not good ones. And hey, look at that. It's not as bright anymore. I did some, it's a little bright, but not as washed out. I did some changing on the camera. For those of you watching on YouTube, those of you listening, you're lucky because I'm an ugly chud. But I'm an almost 20 pounds lighter ugly chud, so that's cool. Kick-Ass reboot, Matthew Vaughn says it's being worked on. I saw Mark Millar post on X a few days ago, a couple of days ago, that there was something dealing with Kick-Ass and he couldn't talk about it until next year. And it turns out, according to Vaughn, whoops, as I scroll too far, that the people from the original, you think of Aaron Taylor Johnson and, Aaron Taylor Johnson and Chloe Moretz, or I always mess up how to, always want to pronounce the name wrong, even when I'm looking at it, but they won't necessarily be in there. They are pretty old to be those characters in a reboot, unless there's like some sort of baton handoff. But Vaughn said Kick-Ass sort of changed people's perception of what a superhero film is at that time. So we'll be doing it again, of course. I added the of course. So it's none of the characters from the other Kick-Ass, he said. We'd like to bring them back after the reboot. This reboot is just going off on a tangent that I can't really talk about now, but it's fun. And that was from a THR interview. I don't need a Kick-Ass reboot. I liked the first film. The second one's fine. It's not as good as the first, but it has its moments. The Six Stick is great. If it's original, like rebooting the universe, but you know, like I said, some other person becomes Kick-Ass, sure, but just a traditional reboot, not necessarily something that I want to see. The other thing I wanted to mention about, and this will tie into the first of our two stories, headline stories, if you will, and I don't know if they're both in the title, but Deadpool 3 director says the release date is at risk, and it indeed is. In an interview. In an interview with The Wrap, Levy said, "I wish I knew. I don't even know if we officially have a release date. I know we were going to be May 3rd. Certainly the actors, strike and the long pause in production have put that release date in true risk. We've shot half the movie. I've edited half the movie. We're dying to get back to work and get this movie out next year." Now, we know that productions have been pushed, and we know that there's been serious issues. Some things even having their release dates all but, you know, removed, to where it's like, oh, there's a month or a season. And this is Hollywood wide, not just Marvel and or Lucasfilm or you know, big ones like that. It's not unbelievable. The SAG strike, SAG after strike's still going on. And things are not likely to get any better, because we're hearing here at LRM Online, we're hearing that layoffs are coming. Like, if the things don't get back into production, you got people that are on payroll that really aren't working. You've got places being held for filming and production purposes. You've got makeup art. You've got a whole lot. Cat, get your claws out of me. You've got a whole lot going on of not going on. You know what I'm saying? So that's not hard to believe either, because there were some layoffs early on in the strikes for when it was the writer's strike primarily at first. And again, it's not surprising. I've mentioned several times how nuanced labor disputes can really be, and how big the effect can go. And it's funny, you know, when you start seeing people get mad at Netflix raising subscription prices or Disney raising subscription prices, but they're out there either A, on the picket line, or B, super supportive on social media, especially for like streaming residuals. And then when those price increases come about, they're like, oh, well, I'll just cancel or I'll pirate it, and totally screwing those people out of the residuals they just fought for or are still fighting for. So for those of you that might be in that position where you're like, yes, I must absolutely support these stances against the companies on streaming stuff, how do you expect them to pay for it? I mean, Disney lost money. Max lost money. What residuals when that part of the business is in the hole? And if you're not willing to support it because you don't want to give up password sharing, like, entertainment doesn't come free. And even if you took the C-suite payroll, you still can't cover the losses on things like Disney Plus, man. I don't know. The solution is support entertainment that you like, with your money and your time. And I'm not saying like I'm not saying take your food and gas money to go see a movie in theaters or buy a physical disc. I am saying when you can, if you have the means, put your money where your heart is. You know what I'm saying? Because the only way to get more content tomorrow is to pay for the content you consume today. I hope the strikes wrap up, and not just Hollywood, but even the auto stuff going on, because it really does affect a lot more people. Those auto strikes, parts and repair costs and times are going up for all sorts of vehicles. And in Hollywood, there's a lot of filming locations that are used to people being on site now, feeding money into their local economy, employing people from the local economy. And that's not happening now. And that's hurting them and their families. And you guys can see how it's all.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Connected. So the other story that I wanted to kind of get at is almost like an I told you so moment. So 3 weeks ago, I was covering a story that I had found about Microsoft's Phil Spencer saying that they could potentially exit gaming in 2027 if Game Pass doesn't do better off console, right? And I took some flack for this, people saying, oh, the billions of dollars Microsoft gets from gaming, they would never give that up. And I was like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. Some of this information came from the FTC filings, the alleged, you know, court documents and records of what was said. And I said take it with a grain of salt because I hadn't found a lot of other people covering it. But lo and behold, this week, comic book comingsoon.net decided to take a look at it and talk about it. And they mentioned the same exact things, 2027, Phil Spencer saying, I can fairly safely say that if we do not make more progress than this off of console, we would exit the gaming business. Going on to say, I would say by fiscal year 26, 27, that we should be in that position or we'd have to make a different decision with the business. You guys can find my video covering it in the description box down below, and I'll hopefully be able to remember to put coming soon's on there as well. But no, I mean, come on, guys, think about it. Microsoft's huge. Like, they have a current valuation of $2.4 trillion. Okay, so that's the total value of the company with its outstanding shares. It is also called market cap. And there's a chart on YouTube that I'm showing everybody right now. There's my mouse. Sorry, it started freezing up. But we're not worried about just market cap, right? Let's look at some revenue numbers. So I'm pulling this from the Motley Fool. Fiscal year 2023, which ended back in June, Microsoft had about $15.5 billion in gaming revenue. And believe it or not, that's actually down from last year where it was like 16 and change. But after this Blizzard Activision acquisition, they would get to claim about another $8.7 billion, and that would be $23 billion in total. Microsoft's revenue, total revenue, not just gaming, was $211 billion, which means that gaming made up just about 11% of the total revenue. A little less, not counting Activision and companies. But still sizable. You sit there and you're like, oh man, you know, 10, 11%. No one would want to give that up until you realize that there's more to it than that, guys, because we're just talking straight revenue. We're not talking about profits. We're not talking about overhead. We're not talking about all of the other stuff that goes into it and how the big company of Microsoft is doing compared to, say, an individual department is very, very different. I hope you guys understand the layers of business there. So when you see that, and you're like, oh my God, well, there's too much to get into here to show you guys why they could say, you know what, gaming's not our thing. We can make some money selling those assets, maybe hold on to a few trademarks or properties to license out. But the big future for Microsoft, of course, is AI. They've been really big on that, investing billions and billions. And again, guys, just for a shot at what the last year of gaming meant for the total value of Microsoft, because stockholders and prices go off of the different businesses that are going on within a big umbrella company like Microsoft. Gaming brought in less than 1%. Gaming contributes less than 1% of that. The value of gaming to the value of the company, and this is just basic, like standard, just like visualization math. It's not like true deep, like we don't have the time to go into all of that. It's just an example that Microsoft can indeed say that maybe the overhead and everything involved with gaming isn't worth it when we could put that money somewhere else and make more. It's just like how Microsoft really has never cared as much about the consumer level Windows stuff. Not never, but in recent years, because, man, it is all about those enterprise contracts, all about those government contracts, man. Microsoft makes bank off of stuff not even related to things that you and everyone around you, you know, use that are Microsoft related. It's not the same as Apple, where Apple's stuff is the consumer level. Look at Nvidia now, man. And Nvidia, everyone thinks gaming, but do you know what Nvidia thinks right now? AI. That's what they think. That's where their money is coming into. Big data centers are keeping all sorts of companies that you use every day in the black, man. They're making them profits, while what you think is the profit really freaking isn't. And that's not me dancing on any graves. I don't want to see Microsoft go under. I don't want less competition. That's why I was against the purchase of Activision and Blizzard. And I don't want to see Sony pick up Square Enix. I don't want any more consolidation. I want some of this split back up and sold out, just like on the movie and television side, guys. So yeah, there you go. I'm not crazy. I'm not the only one that saw the stories and thought, hey, there's some legit, you know, potential in that. I had a hard time with this video, and some of it might be kind of choppy, and I'm sorry for that. Like I said, it's been a rough couple weeks now, but thank you guys for supporting us. Do subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please check out the podcast wherever you get those from, if you want to listen to us on the go without the dangers of having the video on, like if you're driving or something. Support us with merch, Redbubble link down in the description box, and of course, LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Guys, thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you on the next one. Oh my God, it's so bright.